Upgrade your laundry routine with a durable and reliable Maytag laundry pair at Lowe's. Like the new Maytag washer and dryer with performance-enhanced stain-fighting power designed to cut through serious dirt and grime. And what's great is this laundry pair is in stock and ready for delivery when you need it the most. Don't miss out. Shop Maytag in-store or online today at Lowe's.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
So let's go ahead and check out what Candace has to say about being in a polyamorous relationship where she actually has a husband and they have a girlfriend. My baby lesbian high school brain.
Not fully developed high school lesbian brain.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm curious about death, but I don't want to experience it.
Of course, yeah.
It's not for me. Like, death isn't for me. So I took this by his collar, pushed him up against the fucking lockers. How many times have you felt in your life where something is fucking wrong, but you have no idea what it is or how to explain it to somebody else to get the help that you need? They don't have to start later in life. If you put your mind to it and you work hard at it, you can do it early too. And you know, because of those Viking shows, I just thought pagans were white people. I had no idea. What up, what up, what up, peace, silly listeners. Welcome to the podcast that takes its silliness seriously, the professionally silly podcast. It's me, your audible boom thang, Amber Smiles Jones. And this podcast is where we shoot the shit and where comedy can meet any random ass topic that we discuss.
So and, random.
Yeah, random.
So
shit.
Random. Just
random
like, just shit. Like me including myself in that intro.
Mm-hmm.
So random.
That is DJ Hey Cousin. Unfortunately, he has returned for this episode. I apologize for that.
No, she doesn't. No, she doesn't.
I'm sorry about that, listeners. But he literally had a gun to my head, so we had to do this. We had to record
it's
this.
It's a plastic gun. Chill out. It just looks realistic. Oh. Got it from a movie set. Bad Boys 3. Chill out.
If I knew that, you wouldn't be here. Oh, you can leave now. Now that we know. So, man, I ain't gonna lie. I had a crappy week last week. It was a tough one, you know. Shout out to you, DJ Hey Cousin, for putting up that mini-sode up for me to explain to listeners what was going on and let them know what's coming and all that good stuff. I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's my due diligence to the audience and the fans and the lovers.
The lovers out there. Lovers mm-hmm. and the lovers. Friends. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was definitely a tough week for new listeners. I had this wonderful, beautiful, amazing, hilarious cat named Samantha Heroin Jones. Heroin because she was so addictive. And unfortunately, yeah, right. Unfortunately, we had to put her down last Tuesday. She wasn't eating and she wasn't really socializing anymore, wouldn't come downstairs. And, you know, all she really did was like sleep. And she seemed a little nauseous because of the not eating. And we learned later that she had a mass in her stomach, and the vet told us that she was in a lot of pain. There wasn't really much that we could do to help her. Because of that, I had to make the decision to take that pain away, to just, you know, give her that grace. So we had to, you know, euthanize her, unfortunately. And Samantha was like my best friend, and she literally saved my life. If you are new to me or this podcast, I got Sammy when I lived in Los Angeles, and I was a property manager. And in one of the buildings that I managed, we had a couple who didn't pay rent for like 4 months, and they were evicted and came to get all their stuff, but left their cat behind. And her name was Moet at the time, like the wine or the champagne, you know, the drink. And which I fucking hated. It was dumb as shit.
Not a great name.
No, it wasn't. And I changed her name to Samantha Heroin Jones. Sammy for short. And I had a turtle back in the day, too. And his name was Leon Methadone Jones.
Methadone Jones?
And then I found out later on that Leon was a girl.
Wow.
But I rehomed Leon. I just, another tenant got evicted in another building that I had, and they left their turtle behind. Mm-hmm. Literally, like, half an inch of water was completely brown, no food.
Yeah.
Was up there for at least 3 or 4 days because I didn't do the walkout, you know, to do with the pre-walkout or whatever.
Yeah,
see what needed to be moved and changed and replaced and repaired until after I wanted to make sure they were gone. But I didn't know they left turtle behind. So I ended up keeping Leon for, like, 9 months, and then I found her a dope ass place in Los Angeles where she was able to, like, literally have a pond that someone had built with, like, at the time, like, 9 of the turtles, I think.
See, that's a wonderful upgrade.
Slider. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the farm they talk about when they say,
Well,
we sent it to a nice farm
in Los Angeles, too. Got lucky as shit with that one. So, yeah. So at the time when I had gotten Sammy, they got evicted and left the cat behind, and I changed her name because my wife is stupid as shit.
Very.
And I don't talk about this much, but at the time I was suicidal when I was in Los Angeles. I was 100% alone. Everyone who really knew me was on the East Coast, on the other side of the country in Atlanta. I couldn't afford to visit home as much as I wanted to. So I would get to visit at least once a year. Mom would bring me, she bought me a ticket, like, for Christmas or Thanksgiving, you know, and that was nice. And and at that time when I would go to LA, I mean, when I go back from LA to Atlanta, my friend at the time, Lee, shout out to you if you're still listening, she would stay in my apartment and babysit Sammy for me, you know, and she would just stay there, still do all her stuff and just, you know, live in my place.
Yeah.
You know, and babysit Sammy for me. So that was fire. Shout
That's
out to you.
That's a good friend. That's a good friend.
Yeah, right really there. Good friend. And so when I went home to visit like once a year, at those other times when holidays popped up that weren't that time of year that I went home, I spent a lot of them alone. Mm-hmm. I didn't go out as much because I didn't have the money to do so. So I was home alone in my studio apartment a lot.
Yeah.
And I wanted to die. I was so unhappy and I didn't see a change. And I could have gone home, but in my mind, it meant that I failed. It meant that I didn't get anything done there. It meant that I uplifted and moved my entire life for nothing. And I didn't want to come home a failure. Mm-hmm. And that's how I saw it at the time.
Yeah.
I don't see it as that now, especially after everything that has happened. I definitely came home at the right time. You know, rest in peace to my mother. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was that was a rough time. I wanted to die because I wasn't living. You know, I was just existing.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't feeling anything.
You felt no sense of purpose.
Yeah, I didn't.
You know, and isolation also can do that to someone.
Yeah.
Even if they are, you know, in a good job that they're making money in, if they feel isolated.
Yeah. It can rip you up.
Yeah.
It can rip you up. But then this cute, furry, green-eyed, pink-nosed... four-legged creature came into my life, and we were happy because we found each other. And sometimes we just need someone to need us, you know what I mean? And she needed that as well. I needed her, and I had her for like 10 full years. I got her back in like 2015, had her all the way up to 2024. You know, she was about 1 or 2 when I got her. She was an adult. And but now she's with my mom, and we got her cremated, and they just sent they sent us her ashes and her paw print as well, which I didn't even know that was a thing, because I had gotten my other dogs euthanized when they were really sick back in the day. But cremation, I don't know if it was an option, but it was never offered.
Mm-hmm.
So I never thought about it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they did with Max or Cotton. Their bodies, I have no idea. But with Sammy, she is downstairs next to my mom. I have her paw print downstairs. I'm going to bring it upstairs soon. But, you know, I have that now. And it's been about a week, and I'm still not really okay, if I'm being honest with you. But it's hard to talk about her without wanting to cry, because I miss her. And I got to say, waking up without her is hard. And a lot of people don't get it. Like, people don't understand it was just a cat. It was just an animal. It was just a dog. It was just a hamster. It was just a fish. It was just a this. If you've never had a pet before, you don't get it because they really are like family. I had her for like over 10 years. So that is a closeness. We learned each other. Mm-hmm. We saved each other, you know? And so, for those of you, who knew Samantha, thank you so much for your condolences. 'Cause she was in all the videos and all that stuff. So I'm sure you've seen her on the YouTube channel. And, I want to say rest in peace to my buddy, Samantha. And for those of you who have also lost pets, my condolences.
Yeah.
No one can really understand it unless you've been through it yourself.
We live in a big world where, you know, there's not too many people who haven't had that experience of loving an animal.
Yeah.
You know, I really think, I would like to believe that it's the majority rather than the minority of people out there who can genuinely say they share love for, you know, an animal of whatever species.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Cat, dog,
spider.
You know, spider, iguana, snake, you know, hamster, whatever. You know,
chinchilla.
Chinchilla. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't matter. You know, they
connect with you.
Yes, yes. And that lack of vocal, it sheds light onto this kind of character analysis they have. Like they can spot that kind of that light in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they draw to it. You know, I mean, of course they're still animals and they deserve respect in that sense, but when you connect with one, it's truly beautiful. And guys, just keep loving. Just keep loving. And Amber, I love you so much. And you know, it's we're going to get through it together. Just know that, you know, she loved you very much, and she's with your mother, and you know, she's always with you.
Rest in paradise, little Sammy. Rest in peace, love. So let's move on to something more not as sad. So I want to tell you guys about something that happened recently, literally last Thursday, which was hard to do at the time because I was still grieving.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I went to the North Georgia Fair with the BERT show, and it was a lot of fun. So the whole idea of it was Jackson had this segment where he was saying that it's pretty easy to beat some of these carnival games if you can figure out what the trick is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we each did like a little bit of like quote-unquote research, YouTube videos, TikToks.
Reconnaissance.
Yeah, a little reconnaissance there to figure out what we could do. And so we each picked some and tried some. Mikey and Mo did the basketball one, the hoops. Mikey did pretty well. I think he made like three shots in a row. Eventually he got like a free basketball. Actually, yeah. He won two basketballs.
Oh, wow.
Mo came in later, knocked out like five or six, killed that shit. He won a made-in Taiwan-type Kobe Bryant jersey.
Oh, wow.
I said, yo, brother, don't put that on. Your skin's going to fucking
kill
you.
You will start itching, but the novelty of it is nice.
Yeah, he's like, nah, I'm just going to frame it. And I was like, that's a good idea.
Okay. Now, were they actually utilizing the tips and tricks they found online?
No, I don't think so. I think they we had a really lucky trip.
Yeah.
It was lucky as shit, bro. Like, because then after that, we ended up going to this place where you throw a baseball at like the beer bottles,
yeah.
But the beer bottles are like solely set up and they're upside down inside of something.
Mm-hmm.
And so you throw it and you're supposed to like break the beer bottles with the baseball. So Abby went up there and she like hurled that bad boy. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And she threw, I think about like four or five before she finally nailed one and broke one.
Oh, wow.
Crazy. Won herself a little stuffed fish.
You get a lot of turns with one go.
Yeah, right. No, I think she paid to go. We each paid to go at least twice.
Okay.
I didn't. I paid to go once, but this is where it gets interesting. So then we go over to the fish pond thing.
Ooh.
Where you take a ping pong ball and they have like all these like little fish bowls set up.
I never win that one. Right? Never. Oh, man. Okay.
The object of the game is you take the ping pong ball and you try to shoot it into like one of all of these like little fucking fish bowls that are sitting around.
Mm-hmm.
They all have like different colored tissue paper in it, and whatever one you make it in, you get the prize that's allotted to that particular color.
Yeah.
And then they have one fish bowl that is sitting on top of all those bowls, slightly elevated. I would say probably about the size of my water bottle, bro. Like, just slightly elevated up. All the other fish are about the size of, like, a coffee cup. Like, yeah, the height, right? And so I got 30 ping pong balls. I think it was, like, $10 or something like that. And so I'm like, all right, let's fucking do this, right?
Yeah, yeah, you went for the gambit.
All right. I went for the gambit, bro. I was going for the top one because it was so inviting. Like, ooh, get me, I'm hard. Mm-hmm. You know, ha, that's what she said. And so I take the ping pong ball. I fucking shoot that shit, right?
Yeah.
And I fucking nailed it on my, like, third or fourth try.
That's what I'm talking about. See, that's what I'm talking about.
You feel me? I ended up winning an actual live big goldfish. I ended up getting 3 small goldfish instead. And they are now the Burt Show mascots at the moment.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Like, Burt got, like, a... got like an aquarium and got like all the chemicals and stuff that you need to keep them alive and all that shit. So tomorrow we're supposed to get together and put it together and take care of it. They're in another temporary home right now, but
yeah,
they're gonna have a nice large aquarium pretty soon.
Yo,
it's like that's 20
quite
gallons.
That's it's quite crazy. The lore development.
Yeah, it was crazy. So I am clearly the fish ping pong god, I guess.
Yeah, queen. Let's go with queen. God? All right, let's not deify good. Yourself just yet. All right,
you're definitely a god.
Okay, let's definitely you're not omniscient just yet. Okay, all
right. Let's get on to the rest of the episode. Today is about relationships and relationships.
Ooh, yeah.
It's about love or their lack of. Some of us have it, and some of us don't. Hi, I don't. So I have an interview with our polyamorous witch that I've been telling you guys about quite some time. That's going to be a lot of fun. Shout out to you, Candace. Thank you so much for joining us. And we are going to learn a little bit about polyamory. And let me tell you that it can be quite dicey. You got to be sure that this is what you want. And I've also got some embarrassing dating stories to share. So I'm bringing in the random, bringing in the silly, and bringing in the fun. So let's have some fun with your audible boo thing. Okay, so tell them to subscribe. They have to do that. It's a rule.
From your audible side piece, your hey cousin, I am requesting that you please subscribe.
And tell them to rate and review as well.
Oh, yes. And don't forget to rate and review. It's important.
Oh. And tell them that about the Spotify and the comments that are available for each episode.
There's also comments in Spotify. It's very new. You may have missed it. Right at the bottom, you can always use those and let us know if we're doing a great job. See how I just messed up there?
A burp job.
Yeah. Throw it in the comments. Yeah. Talk about me. We'll love it.
All right, guys. Next up, we are going to talk about some Black excellence. You guys know the segment I'm talking about. If you are a listener that has been with me for quite some time, if you are new, you're going to enjoy this as well. Next up on the Professionally Silly Podcast. It's time for some Black Excellence Corner, guys, because this is coming from WRIC.com, which is ABC News, and this is written by Allison Williams. So there is a young man who is a legit business owner, and he did this by the age of 16.
Glorious.
Christopher Knight, a young Black man out of Virginia. This dude has not one but 2 stores, and they are called Cookie Chris. And so he did this by the age of 19 years old. I know people in their 30s who can't get their shit together. And this kid owns 2 storefronts. So that's fire.
Yeah, he makes a lot of people look embarrassing right now.
Yeah, no facts. Me included.
Yeah. Me as well.
And from what I hear, the cookies are bussin'.
Oh, are they?
Oh,
now?
They are bussin'.
Ooh.
Now, mind you, he's doing all of this while being a full-time student at Morehouse College right here in Atlanta. Wow. And he is on his pre-law track. That's where he's headed. He wants to do some law. So he opened up his first storefront when he was 16 years old. 16 years old.
That's amazing.
And his second store, he was 19. So he's killing it. Killing it.
Hey, man. See, this is a reminder of how, like, stuff really is doable. It may feel impossible to make this stuff happen, but you know, it just takes the right plan and some embarrassingly hard work.
Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. His story is like, when the pandemic hit, his mother was like, you need to do something productive. You need to do something with yourself. So he started baking. He used to bake with his grandmother when he was a kid. So he was pretty familiar with the kitchen. And he started selling cookies at school and on social media. And after 2 years of that, he saved up half the money that he needed for his first store in Williamsburg, and that's in Virginia. And his parents helped him foot the bill for the other half that he needed because his mom wanted him out of her damn kitchen. She's like, "You, it's a lot of bacon in here. I want to cook some.
It's dirty.
Like,
you done messed up these pots and pans.
Right. Get up on out of here. My stove's on all the time. Shit." So his cookies were doing so well that he ended up opening a second location in the Richmond, Virginia area. So while he's in school down here in Atlanta at Morehouse, which that is where my daddy went to school. Shout out to my daddy and all his Morehouse buddies. And Uncle Gene, hey, if you're listening. And so while he was in school, while he's in school, his parents are the ones who are running the store. So it's a family thing now, y'all. This is nice. So Chris's parents said that he worked all summer when he was home from school, and they're really proud of him. Shit, I'm proud of him. I never even met this kid.
Oh, yeah, right? I feel like we're cousins.
Okay. Right, yo, we're cousins now, Chris. If you hear this, we're cousins.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Send him some free cookies. it's family. It's a family thing.
Yeah.
So he said that his main goal is to be an inspiration for people his age. This is a quote from him. They don't have to start later in life. If you put your mind to it and you work hard at it, you can do it early too. Close quote.
Well, he's failed at that goal because he's inspired everyone. All right. So sorry about that, buddy.
Yeah. Oops. So I gotta say, man, I guess some of these youngins actually do know what hard work is about.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them are lazy. I got to say, his parents did an amazing job with this kid. Shout out to you, Chris. I got to say, I needed another Chris to believe in, so I ain't going to hold you. God bless you, you and your family. I wish y'all nothing but the best for real. If you hear this, I want some free cookies.
There is hope in the YNs.
DM me. We'll talk about this.
There is hope. There is hope.
I have a YouTube video where I try things. I would love to do that.
Oh, okay. Are you just asking for cookies right now? I'm trying to give praise, and you're asking for cookies.
I'm hungry. Have you ever dated someone, did something super embarrassing? Well, these people did. Let's talk about it up next, right here on the Professionally Silly Podcast.
What?
All right. Have you ever experienced...
Yeah, get that evil out.
Have you ever experienced that?
Yes, actually.
Let me
try
that again. Shit. Have you ever experienced moments in the dating world that you wish you could take back, DJ Hey Cousin?
Hell yeah.
Well, I got a few stories that give us the cringe that we so badly need. You know why we need this type of cringe?
I don't know why you say I need this, because I have more than enough.
Assortment. You need it, DJ Hey Cousin, is because it's not your cringe, therefore it's fun.
Well, I mean, when you put it like that, roll the clips!
So I went to a few BuzzFeed websites here, and I got some things I want to share with you. So right here, I'm going to share you this first one here. It reads, "In high school, I went up against a guy twice my size in a game of bloody knuckles." First of all, pause. What?
Yeah, you
this
don't
guy
know.
Is white, right?
I mean, doesn't have to be, but do you not know what bloody knuckles is?
No.
Oh shit. Okay. So
is it when you like hit each other's knuckles?
Basically, yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah, push your knuckle out, push your fist out.
All right.
Basically, doing this
over and over again, but super hard.
Yeah.
That's dumb as shit. Boys are dumb. All right. So, twice the size in game of bloody knuckles. Moving on. If you don't know, it's a game where there it is. Cold read, by the way. If you don't know, it's a game where you take turns punching each other's fists until someone taps out. Actually, I've seen this.
Yeah.
Boys are stupid once
again. It's like gladiators. We can't use swords on each other and shit, so this is the next best thing.
Bitch, that's why we play pencil pop. What's wrong with you?
That's okay, I guess.
Oh, my God. Again, boys are stupid. All right, moving on. This goes on back to the story here. For some reason, I thought this would be a great way to show off to another guy I had a crush on. Oh, this dude's gay. Good for you.
Oh, cool.
Me too. Hey. So I wound up breaking my hand. The crush was not impressed and pretty much ignored my existence for the rest of high school. In a turn of events, 10 years later, he's now one of the groomsmen in my wedding. Turns out he was a good childhood friend of my fiance and now a good friend of mine. My fiance thought this story was hilarious, and we told it at a party. Our friend doesn't remember it, but we laughed about how fucking stupid I was and all the dumb things we did as teenagers. That is hilarious. That kind of reminds me of my own cringe story. So, you know, my Sasha, my friend that, like, I was in love with in high school?
Yeah.
Yeah, her. Like, I mean, like, call me, girl, if you still.
Hit her up.
Know.
Hit her up.
But anyways, I had a huge crush on her in high school, and there was, like, this asshole dude. I don't even remember his fucking name. And he was, like, really, like, aggressive, like, bullying me and stuff because he knew that I liked her, and she kind of low-key liked me. Oh. And he would do, like sly shit that she never fucking saw. So one day, I decided to fucking, like, post up on this, like, for real.
Bro.
When he was in the 1000 hallway, bro, and I remember this shit. And he said some shit to me that she didn't hear. And I got fucking furious. And I thought, just like this guy, oh, I can impress her. Yeah. Showing her my strength, my prowess.
I can this protect
is,
her.
Right. This is my high school brain. Mm-hmm. Okay. My lesbian high my baby lesbian high school brain.
Not fully developed high school lesbian brain.
So I took this by his collar, pushed him up against the fucking lockers. It was the loudest clang ever, bro.
Stopped everything, everyone in the tracks.
I swear, bro. And after that, I don't know what I would have done. I probably got my ass kicked. But he was so shocked that it happened, he didn't do anything. She saw it, completely turned off by it.
I mean, granted, bro, you just caused a scene.
Bro, I had to apologize to her for like months.
You know, and don't forget, when it comes to the not fully developed lesbian high school brain, also thinking it's a fucking movie.
Oh my God, when you think about it, I literally lived bottoms. I started a fight club. It was just me.
Yeah, just you. Just you.
Ew, if you have not seen the movie,
Shout out to Bottoms.
You got to check that. I think it was on Amazon Prime, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you went to high school in the early 2000s, you're going to fucking love this movie. Mm. You're going to love, because they got razors, cell phones, fucking phone books, yep. Discmans. It's crazy.
Early to mid 2000s folks out there that was in high school.
Yeah, especially if, and actually, you don't even have to be a lesbian. It's hilarious either way.
Facts.
But if you're a lesbian, you're going to fucking love it, because it's about two lesbians who start a fight club so they can sleep with the hot cheerleaders. Literally the plot.
And shenanigans ensue.
Ah, so many shenanigans. All right, that was my cringe moment. And to this day, Sasha and I are really good friends now, actually.
Oh, that's good.
To this day, we still talk.
So that's quite the resolve right there. See, that's how you end a good story right there.
I'm still single as fuck. Okay, let's move on to this next one here. So it says, the guy took me to a McDonald's, ate 5 hamburgers, one after another, looked on his phone, asked me if I was horny, and wanted to go to his apartment. So this is a quote, I can do you. I politely declined and left. I've never been so disappointed in someone as that on a date.
I mean, did he not offer so any cringy. Of the burger? Or, I mean, what? I mean, that's the only problem I see in this whole scenario.
that's the only problem saw in this story?
I mean, I see a couple of other possible red flags.
Hey, are you horny? You want to go back to my apartment so I can do you?
Hey, you want to go back to my apartment so you can get done by me after while I have this hamburger McDonald's breath?
Yeah, I respect you so much. I took you to McDonald's, ate 5 hamburgers, and now, before even getting to know who you are as a person, I want to take you to my apartment and put my greasy fingers all over your body while my body digests something that's not even meat.
Mm-hmm. And mind you, you can make a McDonald's day work.
I mean, no, you totally
with
can.
The right, you know what I'm
but
saying?
The
if you
way
got the right juice
it,
on it.
I got to be honest with you. Like, if I could take a woman to McDonald's as a date, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
And honestly, I would not be disappointed if a woman took me to McDonald's because I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, no,
but you got, after that, you now have to bring that personality. Mm-hmm. You can't take me to a fast food restaurant and then be a fucking lame or a bitch or just hood or you have to bring something.
You're already, like, with that move, you're already betting on your personality. Yeah, bro. Because it's the opposite. If you take someone to, like, a very high-class restaurant, that just shows you got money. That don't got nothing to do with it.
Yeah, but where's your personality at?
You know what I'm saying?
I don't care where we go. The point of the date is to get to know someone.
Exactly.
So if you take me to McDonald's, I'm not judging you. I've eaten McDonald's before.
Exactly.
I don't eat it very often, but like everybody fuck it up.
Everyone knows their order at McDonald's.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, so don't act like I'm gonna get me a 10-piece nuggets, give me my fucking fries, make sure them bitches is hot, make sure there's some salt in them hoes, and I want my fucking barbecue sauce because I dip my fries in my sauce.
There you go.
It's what I do, bitch. Or I'll get a quarter pounder with cheese. Those are my go-tos.
Give me that crispy chicken sandwich, large fry, Sprite, we good to go.
Stop playing with me. I got to get that sweet tea.
See?
You know what I'm saying?
So he fucked it up. He fucked it up. I mean, it was him.
He fucked it. I'm horny. You want to take back my apartment so I can do you?
Good reenactment.
You know
what I'm saying? Were you there?
I guess whoever ends up dating us will be lucky because we're not very judgmental when it comes to those type of things. I'm not saying I only want to go to places like that.
Oh, of
I'm
course
saying
not. It's about
I don't
balance.
Mind going there here and there, but in getting to know you, I want to know that you have other interests, and some of those interests may cost some money. Let's go to a museum. Let's go see a play. You know what I'm saying? So that's the kind of shit I like. Anyway, let's go on to this next shit right here. It says here, I met up with a guy for dinner after meeting via dating app. Okay. About 15 minutes into the conversation, he called me by the wrong name. I called him out for it, only to find out that he got another girl and me on the app mixed up and thought that he was going on a date with someone else. It was very awkward, but it was also my favorite Mexican restaurant, so I stayed and finished the dinner.
Fuck it. Fuck it, might as well. I got my...
Can I get a second order of Jimmy Junkers?
My fajita is sizzling, and I'm not about to let this sizzle go to waste.
Bro, you know I love Mexican. You know that spot in Fayetteville I love going to?
La Parada?
Yeah, Parada. Yeah, that place. Yeah. Or whatever the fuck
it's called. Yeah, most
bro,
definitely.
Those margaritas be slapping. Mm. Those fucking fajitas be killing it.
That burrito was in.
Yo, definitely. Their queso is fire.
That queso was
queso, because you can get chorizo in that shit.
Yep.
Hey,
just, all right, it's fine. A little mix up. I'm gonna enjoy my food. You enjoy your food, and we'll just part ways. Know what I'm saying? That seems like not a bad option.
Oh, speaking of dating, I have an announcement. Not really an announcement, just like an update. I don't know why I said PSA, everybody. Okay. So I'm on Hinge now.
Ooh.
I have Bumble. I have Facebook dating. I know, but everybody's saying Hinge is the way to go for people my age and stuff. So I downloaded it, and there is someone who has shown some interest.
Mm-hmm.
She asked me out last week, but last week I was actually spending time with Dad when you were out of town. We had some plans. And she's actually going out of town for a week right now, but we have plans to get together when she gets back. And she seems really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely my type in the personality-wise, because we've been talking for a little bit, so... We'll see how it goes.
We'll see.
I'm excited, terrified, and nervous all at the same time. Or maybe that's all the same feeling. I don't really know. It's like a Big Mac of emotions. Like each piece of bread is the emotions that I just described.
Yeah, condiments is, you know,
so there's
anxiety.
Definitely some gas.
Yeah, the
definitely
cheese,
some gas.
Because
she was like asking me like what I do and stuff, and I've been like really. Not like vague, but I haven't told her the name of the show I work for.
Yeah. Because
she lives in the area, so she may have heard of it. So I don't want to... I say I'm a producer for a morning radio show, but I did not say which one.
Yeah, you just said a producer.
Yeah. I mean, because she asked me, like, what are you... Like, I work in radio. Oh, what's your aspect in that? I said, I produce, and that's how we got into it.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see how it goes, because I don't... One thing I did learn from the rest of the Bird Show members is that dating is hard when you're part of the show, because people assume that you're gonna talk about their life all the time or your experiences with them and stuff. So I'm just kind of wanting to get to know her first and kind of see where that goes, and then eventually if things work out or whatever, then we can just, you know, cross that bridge when we get to it. But this whole dating online thing is new to me. But I tell you what, DJ Hey Cousin, I know you got some tea that you about to spill on some relationships that you came across on TikTok.
I mean, I might. We'll see. I mean, you know, I guess I can give those things away now.
I mean, yes. I think this is something that we should probably do up next right here on the Professionally Silly Podcast.
Yeah.
It's way more interesting than my dating life right now. Let's talk about this. Yeah. If there's anything that you can take from this small bonus episode, it's dating sucks and people are weird. Professionally Silly Life Rules. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you guys tomorrow for the full episode. Don't forget, every Friday right here on the Professionally Silly Podcast. DJ, hey cousin, go ahead and spill that TikTok tea. I hear it's hot.
Ooh. Well, you know, it's...
Bro, we're recording a podcast. Come on, man. Come on, we're recording right now. Take this seriously. Bless you, whatever. Go ahead.
Anywho, I mean, it's kind of hot, I guess. I guess.
Now move on. Your sneeze has ruined it.
You know what I'm saying? How did that make you sneeze?
The bit's over.
But it's not, though. All right, nevertheless. Okay, this bit of tea is, these are things that very much happen in relationships. You know, the further you get along, the more questions you might have as patterns start to become more frequent, and they tend to lead to certain moments in which, unless you've been in these moments before, you can very easily misinterpret, and it can lead down a very, very bad path that can sometimes lead to a bad an end. It can be bad. Nevertheless, this first one, basically when, you know, you think you're being hindered by your mate and you'd want that to change. I'm not giving it justice. I'll just let the prompt do its job. Play the clip.
Was that a prompt? That prompt was 80 minutes long.
No.
I'm being a dick. I'm playing the
clip. Yeah, thank you.
I told my boyfriend I didn't need his help with anything, and now that he's actually stopped, I'm miserable. I just want him to go back to how he was, but I don't know how to ask without sounding like a complete hypocrite. I, 27F, need some perspective here because I feel like I might have messed up, but I'm not sure. My boyfriend, 29M, and I have been together for almost 3 years, and honestly, he's the most caring, supportive person I've ever been with. He's always there to help with anything, whether I ask for it or not, and that's where things started to get tricky. You know when someone is just too helpful? Like, I'd be cooking dinner and he'd rush over to chop veggies, even though I didn't need the help. Or I'd be doing laundry and he'd start folding clothes I hadn't even sorted yet. If I was working on a project for my job, he'd hover over me, offering suggestions or trying to help me stay organized when all I wanted was space to focus. I know he means well, but after a while, it started to make me feel like he didn't trust me to handle things on my own. So, about a month ago, I snapped a little. We were in the middle of cooking, and he swooped in to help with something super basic, and I just blurted out, "I don't need your help with everything, okay? I can handle it on my own." He looked stunned, like I just slapped him. He didn't argue though, just kind of nodded and backed off. I felt a bit guilty but also relieved that maybe now I have some space. Well, be careful what you wish for, right? Ever since that conversation, he's completely stopped helping with anything. Like, if I'm cooking, he'll sit in the living room, not even offering to set the table or anything. If I'm doing laundry, he doesn't fold a single thing. It's not just the chores either. If I'm stressed out or venting about work, he doesn't chime in with suggestions or offer any emotional support. He just says, "You'll figure it out," and leaves it at that. At first, I thought it was great to have my space back, but now it feels off. He's distant, and it's like he's not even trying to be part of my life in the way he used to. He used to surprise me with little things, like bringing me coffee or giving me a back rub if I looked stressed. Now? Nothing. He's there, but not really there, if that makes sense. The other night, I brought it up, asking why he stopped doing those little things for me, like making coffee or helping out when I'm clearly overwhelmed. He just looked at me and said, "You told me you didn't need my help, so I'm giving you space." Now I feel stuck. I miss the way he used to take care of me, but I don't want to backtrack and seem like I'm flip-flopping. I was frustrated when he was always trying to help, but now I'm upset that he stopped entirely. I want to find some balance, but I don't even know how to ask for it without sounding like a hypocrite.
First of all, I had no idea that it was going to sound like a robot.
Well, that's...
But at least she was female, so that's cool.
Yeah, perfectly fine. No one's at fault here. I mean, not sorry. Everyone's
what?
At fault here. My bad. The opposite like, of the first thing I said. Everyone's at fault here.
Here's my thing, man. I just feel like there is a way out of this, but you just have to be an adult and have a conversation.
Humility is hard.
It is hard.
Accountability is even harder.
Yeah, like I understand like snapping because you're just like, it happens. It happens. But after you do that, now it's time to sit down and explain exactly what you want
mm-hmm.
or what you need.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't expect this man to just guess. You know what I'm saying? And now you've made him feel weird about wanting to do the things that you're complaining about that he no longer does. So now it's confusing. So he's like, well, fine. I just won't do anything. I just feel like, you know, if she just communicates, she can fix this. This is this is a small thing to me.
Mm-hmm. And even though the guy is justified in his response, he can't hold on to that. You know, you're going to have to do something about that eventually. You can't let that fester. The whole quiet game thing, it's fun for a brief moment. But you know, as that festers, it only grows into an actual wound that needs to be treated. You know what I'm saying? So it's you know, that's as an initial response, that's fine. But, you know, you have to see to that. You have to. And that see toing is usually or should be in the form of communication, some kind of conversation, some kind of action that goes, you know, to some kind of resolve.
I'm with that. One thing I will say, being someone who is desperately single, I'm just playing. I get it. It's hard. It's hard. But sometimes you just got to talk.
Yeah.
So you, DJ Hey Cousin, you've got another one for us, yeah?
No, yeah, I do. I do, actually.
I mean, I guess if you
mean,
mention
when
it.
When you put it like that. So I'm not even going to do any kind of large setup. I'm going to let the AI lady do its job. Okay?
Are you sure? Because you did such a great job the last time.
I did? You think so?
Absolutely not.
Thank you.
All right, so let's go. DJ Hey Cousin, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm.
He's here. All right. So
okay, I just serve the tea. I don't do the a whole hype trailer for the tea. I just serve it, okay? I'm just serving it.
I just
it.
Pour it. I don't make it. I just, here's the tea. Make it yourself.
Thank you, yeah.
I give you the hot water and the tea. You do the rest.
Yes, you put it up to your mouth and digest it and all that stuff.
All right, let's go ahead and see what's going on here.
After almost a year of feeling unwanted, my wife told me, "You are not entitled to my body." That was the last straw. So when I walked out, I didn't just leave, I had the utilities turned off for 2 weeks. For almost a year, I've been living in a marriage that feels like a one-way street. My wife hasn't been intimate with me in over 12 months. Every time I bring it up, I hear the same excuse, "All you think about is intimacy." And when I push back, she looks me dead in the eye and says, "You're not entitled to my cheeks." At first, I was patient. I gave her space, hoping we'd reconnect eventually. I tried everything, helped around the house, planned romantic date nights, even took on more of the kids' responsibilities. But nothing changed. The emotional distance grew wider. I'm not saying I need intimacy every night, but after nearly a year, it's hard not to feel unwanted. I told her how much it hurt, how it made me feel invisible. But she brushed me off with the same line every time, "You're not entitled to my body." Meanwhile, I'm the one holding everything together, working long hours, paying the bills, making sure the kids have what they need. I feel like a roommate, not a husband. It's like she's forgotten I'm even here. When the kids were younger and needed her constant attention, I understood. But now they're older and more independent. They're at school most of the day, so why are we still stuck in this endless rut? Months of this wore me down. I finally hit my breaking point when I told her, "I'm starting to resent you. I don't even feel connected to you anymore." She just shrugged it off again, like it was nothing. Like my feelings didn't matter. That's when I decided, if I'm not entitled to basic intimacy, maybe she's not entitled to the life I provide. So I turned off the water, the gas, and the electricity. I even transferred half of our savings into a separate account. I wasn't going to make the kids suffer, though. I packed them up and took them to my mom's for a couple of weeks. It wasn't the most mature thing to do, but I needed her to see what happens when someone takes and takes without giving anything back. When my wife found out, she was furious. She called me childish, manipulative, and said I was punishing her for exercising her right over her own body. But that's not what this is about. It's about partnership. I'm not demanding intimacy, I'm asking for effort, emotional connection, something to remind me that we're still in this together. It's been one-sided for so long, I'm starting to feel like a ghost in my own home. Now, She's telling everyone I'm some kind of monster for turning off the utilities, making me out to be a controlling villain. But honestly? At this point, I don't care what people think. How am I the bad guy for wanting balance? For wanting to feel like I matter? I love her, but I'm done feeling like I'm being taken for granted. If things don't change, I will make a change.
That was a lot.
Oh yes, that was just a full course of OD.
I like these. You got to bring more of these to the podcast, but not just relationship, all kinds of shit.
Oh yeah, of course. That's what
I want.
Here for.
I want cringy shit. I want weird shit. I want scary shit. Just bring it. So, what do you think about what he was saying about his relationship with his wife and how he handled it?
Just like the first one, some of this stuff is warranted, but everybody's at fault for something. You know, I do believe that. In a relationship, physical intimacy, to be specific, is something that is necessary. Mm-hmm. That should be understood regardless of how often or, you know, in what way or style or whatever your thing is. You know, that should be something that should be communicated that, you know, we need to do this often for the sake of both of us, you know, and there should be some talk made in reference to that, you know.
I agree with that. A discussion should be had. Yeah. Other people view physical intimacy is different things. Mm-hmm. Everyone's love language is different, but you're right. The discussion should be had.
Yes.
I do think. Go ahead.
And before you even continue, do you believe sex is a pivotal, what's the best word of putting it?
You think it's important to the relationship?
Yes. Yes.
For me, yes. But there are other people who would say no.
Is it a deal breaker for you?
A deal breaker? Like no sex at all?
Or the minimal amount, to the point in which
if there was no sex at all, then yes, I would need physical intimacy to feel wanted, to feel attractive, mm-hmm. to feel, you know, like a woman. You know, yeah. I would want to have that, just like, you know, someone else may want that. If we're talking about minimal, I can deal with that because there are other forms of showing your affection. But if you're saying zero sex, no,
yeah.
That would be a deal breaker for me.
And let me not say this as if I'm taking any sides. I'm really just trying to set the markers for what's appropriate and not appropriate as far as what people expect from a physical standpoint, mm-hmm. in long-term relationships. They're married. This isn't boyfriend-girlfriend shit. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about marriage.
Dude. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So with kids, you know what I'm saying? So like, it's like... And I do understand that when it comes to kids and that whole life and you're setting into this whole existence of taking care of other people and maintaining this thing, I understand that. Sex can be hard. You know, going to a job, coming home, you're tired, dealing with these kids all day, you're tired, you're smelly. I understand that, but it's still important. The same thing as dating. It's still important after you're married.
I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I am thinking in this particular instance, there might be something going on with this woman that not even she is aware of, is not yeah. something that is studied. The female body is kind of ignored. Most of medicine is made off of the male anatomy, mostly white men.
We're still making discoveries, unfortunately.
Exactly. It's very possible that she could be suffering from postpartum depression, and that shit can last for years, especially untreated. There could be an issue that she may not even be aware of. He doesn't know to ask about it. She doesn't know to tell him about it. Mm-hmm. Because how many times have you felt in your life where something is fucking wrong, but you have no idea what it is or how to explain it to somebody else to get the help that you need? Mm-hmm. It is a problem. I'm not saying that is what's going on with her. I'm saying that it's possible.
It's a possibility.
It is a possibility. So this may not just be, oh, I don't want to give you no pussy. Oh, my body is blah, 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 blah. There may be more behind it that she may not be aware of. She may believe in that, but now that it's given her the quote-unquote excuse, yeah. right, to not do something that she really chemically can't see herself doing. Because postpartum depression is a chemical imbalance. It mm-hmm. just, it changes your personality. It changes your wants, your needs, your moods. It is deep, psychologically deep. Again, not saying that's what she has.
Yeah.
I'm saying that could be a possibility.
And even from a broader perspective, sex is a very complicated thing. Hormonally, chemically, emotionally. You know, there's a lot of circuitry that goes into the act of sex, bro. When you think about just how we go through that process mentally, then physically. You know, the act of being horny, or, you know, the act of wanting whatever that person, mm-hmm. you know, and then that going into how your body reacts to that. You know what I mean? And then just the ever-flowing steps that follow. Like, that whole track can be disrupted very easily.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, just the things you experience when you're not at home that day could affect that. You know what I'm saying? So I would say that anyone who is listening right now that may be going through something like this with their partner, again, communication, just like before, is super important. Like, mm-hmm. I've been single for quite some time, but I watched a healthy marriage that lasted 41 years. I kind of have an idea of what it is, which is probably why my bar is so goddamn high. Thanks, Mom and Dad.
Yeah, sorry about shit. They messed you up on that one.
They did. Damn. I want a relationship like my parents. But I think communication, I watched them throughout their years. Their communication was very good. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why they last as long as they did. So I think that we just kind of need to just, like, sidestep the embarrassing or the awkward moment and just fucking have it.
And that's part of it.
Because if you don't have those embarrassing and awkward moments, you're also not going to have the moment of clarity for a problem that desperately needs a solution. And sometimes awkward and weird needs to happen. You just need to swallow that.
In my mind, that's mandatory.
Facts. Just like you can go to the club and take a shot of, like, some crazy strong ass liquor, you can sit your ass down and have a conversation with your partner. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That shit didn't go down smooth, and you know damn well it didn't.
And it damn right. But God, you know what? That after effect gonna be hitting though.
I know, that's right. All right, up next, we got the opportunity to interview a woman who is literally a polyamorous witch. I know, that's a lot.
Hocus pocus.
Next up, right here on the Professionally Silly Podcast, things are about to get interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we had what I called polyamorous Pat joined the podcast. The reason I called her that, because she called in one time on the Bird Show to call in to discuss a segment. And when she called in, sometimes, because I'm one of the phone screeners, sometimes the numbers are pre-saved, or it could be like the number could be off of like one number, but a name automatically pops up with it.
Yeah.
And it said Polly. Ah. So I thought that was her name. And then I think also she kind of went with it because whatever she was about to discuss, she didn't really want her name known anyway. And so then she mentioned later on that she was polyamorous when she and I had a private discussion that was not on air. And so then
that's
when
it hit you.
Yeah, I just started calling her polyamorous Pat. So it's just Polly Pat.
Yeah.
That's where that came from. But her name is Candace, and she is a lovely woman. And she has shared some information about the polyamory relationships that I have always wondered about, not in a way of I'm interested in doing it, but just kind of curious. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm curious about death, but I don't want to experience it.
Of course, yeah.
It's not for me. Like, death isn't for me.
Yeah, I would like to talk to a ghost, not be a ghost.
Exactly. I want to talk to someone who's polyamorous, but I don't want to be. At least at the moment. Who knows?
Exactly, yeah. You know? Yeah.
But anyways, she answered a few questions that many people have had about their type of relationships. And so Candace shared some things with us. She also shared with us that she is also a witch. She has been practicing this for quite some time.
And from my understanding, there was so much information. There was so much, like, just gold she was willing to share with us on both ends. This is really a two-parter in reality. Like,
yeah,
so a lot of this is really going to be the poly stuff, and they're going to double back and really get to the hocus pocus of it all.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And get down with that.
We'll probably bring that back closer to the quote-unquote Halloween season. And I was thinking about bringing her back to explain how she and her culture experience or how they celebrate Halloweens, because they do have so many celebrations that they do. So
it runs deep.
Yeah, it does. So this is like something I would love to do, is to bring people who practice different things, who have interesting jobs, whether you're a content creator or a repo man or a chef or a line cook, whatever it is, and just kind of like introduce these people, because we're constantly hearing about celebrities and people who've already made it. There are people out there who keep the economy going. People who are out there, keeping food in our stomachs. They're keeping gas in our cars. They're keeping us laughing on our phones. They're creating so many amazing memories that we take advantage of that we don't even think about. And so I kind of want to give them a platform as well, and let people know that, hey, there are other people out there like you who exist. It's not just about being a celebrity or being famous or being rich. You know, it's just about being.
Yeah.
And I think we should shine a light on some of these people's lives. So this was one of those. So we have more in the future to come. So let's go ahead and check out with Polyamorous Pat. I'm just playing. What Candace has to say about being in a polyamorous relationship where she actually has a husband and they have a girlfriend. Thank you so much for doing this.
You're welcome.
Let me just make sure my volume is turned all the way up here. So my name is Amber. I know we've spoken on the phone, but I feel like we're just, that's cool.
thank you. I'm at work.
That's cool.
Yeah, I was like, it's really bright in here. Let me close my blinds.
I like that. So we're going to do, now I was going to keep going by Polly Pet, but I didn't know what you wanted to go by. So I wanted to ask you about that before we begin.
Well, my name's Candace.
Okay.
So we can go by Candace.
Okay, Candace. Okay. Let's do it. So I've got my co-host, Wesley here. This is him.
Hi, how are you?
So he's going to join in audibly and make sure everything is working right. He's my IT production guy. He's without him, Jesus. Peace, silly listeners. I told you once before, and I'm telling you again, we got her. Now, you know her as Polly Pet, but she has a real name, a government name. Her name is Candace. Something very interesting about Candace. She is a technically polyamorous witch. Technically, right? Am I right? Am I right or wrong here, Candace?
Yes, no, that is correct. Technically, I am a polyamorous witch.
Well, let me ask you this, Candace. Which one were you before? Were you polyamorous first or were you a witch first?
I was pagan first. Ah,
oh, awesome.
So question, I'm glad you said that. My question to you may be, I'm not even sure if it's the right question, but is there a difference between being a witch and being pagan?
So not all pagans are witches and not all witches are pagans.
Oh.
There are Christian witches. There are Muslim witches. There's Jewish witches. They may not admit it. And maybe in the closet. We call them closet witches. But they do practice in a way for pagans. Prayer to us is considered manifestation and magic.
Okay. Now that's interesting. I do have a question about, now that I understand that you did practice paganry, is that how you
say it? Paganry.
Okay, yeah. Paganry. When is that something that your family did, or is that something you did on your own?
No, I took a religious study class in college. I had been agnostic for a long time because I just did not know where I fit in the religious world.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a Christian study, or not Christian, a religious studies class in college. I went to college late in my life. And I was really interested in the pagan idea of being pagan. And pagan just means not of the 5 or 7 high-profile religions.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got Christianity, Hindu, Judaism, Muslim, Buddhism, and Taoism, and there was another one I can't remember. Those make up the 5 to 7 major religions. Anything outside of that is considered pagan.
Oh, okay.
Right. So shamanism. If you know anybody that is Haitian and they study or they practice hoodoo,
mm-hmm.
that is considered paganry. Any type of Native American or Native tribal ritual practices, those are considered pagan ritual practices.
I did not know that. And, you know, because of those Viking shows, I just thought pagans were white people. I had no idea.
No, pagans can be pretty much anything that is outside of those 5 to 7 major religions.
Now, are you currently still practicing pagantry, or is it just strictly witch?
Oh, no, I'm paganry. Okay. So I practice pagan religion. I do pagan practices, and I'm druid. I have a druid path. I'm sorry, there were some people talking in the hallway, so I wasn't sure if y'all were picking that up or not.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Okay. So I practice a pagan druid path, but I also am a witch because I practice spells and incantations. I also have an interest in shamanism, which is very close to paganry, and shamanistic practices were practiced all over the world. They're not just for a specific culture. Okay. So I read a lot of different cultural books.
Okay. I did have a question for you in dealing with your polygamy, your relationship. Okay. You're in the current polygamous relationship right now, yes?
Polyamorous.
What did I just say?
Polygamous.
What's the difference?
So polygamy is illegal. I mean, in a case like, I guess polyamory is also illegal, but polygamy is when, from my understanding, polygamy is when a man marries another woman.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. My apologies. No, I'm learning okay. So much. So are you currently in a polyamorous relationship right now?
Yes.
And what does that look like? Are you married? Is it a boyfriend? Is it a husband? Is it a wife? How do you?
So I am married to my husband. Mm-hmm. We celebrate our first year. Or we celebrated our first year anniversary just this past August, mm-hmm. and we have a girlfriend who is in a relationship with both of us, my husband and I.
Okay.
We are not a sexual relationship, so our relationship is not based on the sex that we give or get from each other.
Okay.
Our relationship is based on the emotional satisfaction and the comfort that we give to each other.
Okay. Do all three of you live together currently, or do, okay.
Yeah.
Now I do have a question that I'm sure many people want to know in dealing with that type of relationship. I would like to kind of know, like, what challenges do you think you have faced or that you have overcome when it comes to living your life the way that you guys are living it?
So as humans, there's always a challenge with jealousy and emotions. We are in a household where there are two women and a man who is, you know, in a relationship. So the hormones and the testosterone can sometimes clash with each other. My girlfriend and I also both come from very traumatic pasts.
Yeah.
My husband does too, so navigating our trauma with each other is very, sometimes it's eggshells.
Mm.
And then other times it's just, okay, let's take a breath, let's breathe. I bring in a lot of meditation, a lot of my pagan practices to try and keep the calm aura around the house.
Yeah. Do they also practice in pagantry with you?
No, my girlfriend, she doesn't really practice anything. My husband is heathen. He's interested in the heathen path, but he does not practice. Now, he is our fire keeper at our druid rituals.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts our fire, and then he also monitors the grounds to make sure that the people coming in are not there to cause any harm to us.
Well, what is the druid ritual for? What is that?
Okay, so our druid rituals, we have 8 a year. They mark the holy days, the pagan and druid holy days. So the one coming up is going to be this Saturday. It's the autumn equinox. And then we go into Samhain, which is the end of October, beginning November. Then there's the winter solstice, commonly known as Christmas.
I've heard of that one. Yeah.
Then we have Imbolc, which is the beginning of February. Imbolc is also the word for lambing season or milking, the ewe's milk. So we honor the first of spring, mm-hmm. the Imbolc. Then we have the spring equinox. Yes. Yes. that's in March. March or April. No, March 21st. Yes. And then we have Beltane, mm-hmm. which is May Day. A lot of people know it as May Day. Then we have the summer solstice, which is to us the midpoint of summer. Beltane starts summer. Summer solstice is the midpoint. Then Lunasaw, which is the last ritual of the summer, that marks the beginning of autumn. And then we have the autumn equinox. So we have eight rituals annually that we do with our druid group.
So would you say, would I be incorrect in saying that the rituals that you guys practice are technically like celebrations?
Yes.
That's pretty much what they are. Because a lot of people hear ritual and they put a negative connotation to it, where it just seems to be a celebration of those of you who are living in the same culture. It's all it sounds like to me.
It is. Okay. And a lot of, so we do a physical ritual where we call on energies and spirits of the land and we ask them for blessing and we chant. We offer offerings to Mother Earth. We don't kill anything.
I'm sure everyone's like, oh, they're probably just gutting all kinds of things. No, that's a misnomer. No. Yeah.
So usually, so we do have members that make mead. So they'll bring the mead or the cider that they've made or that they've obtained from local sources. A lot of times it's going to be flowers or grains or fruits from
now, Candace, garden. You have to be honest. Is the mead any good? Do you like it?
I can't drink.
Oh, okay. Well, that's honest.
Yeah. I'm on medication, and when I drink, it just, it's no good.
Understood.
All right. Well, I have a very pivotal question.
Okay.
A very pivotal and important question. What would you say is the best movie, TV show, or form of media that best depicts your culture?
That's a good question, because a lot of people are going to try to connect it to something.
And you know what? What's the worst one, too?
So a movie that I always... Okay, there's a few. A movie that I always tell people to watch is Agora.
Agora. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So she was a 17th century astronomer mm-hmm. that was murdered during the first Christian... when Christianity started to rise. Mm. Because she was female, because she did not take up a religion.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of introduces the pagans have always been persecuted aspect of our culture. Mother, not the horror movie.
But... I was like, what? That one left.
But the movie where they're in a house. It was critically acclaimed and it was highly scrutinized, but they are in a house and he holds her heart.
Yes.
I'm kind of spoiling the movie, so there's some spoilers here.
Yeah.
He holds her heart.
That sounds familiar.
So, it has a lot of Christian symbolism in it, but that is, it's very pagan. Hmm. It's very pagan. A lot of people say The Craft, but that is not necessarily how magic works.
Well, that movie is super sexy though. You have to admit it's, it's very sexy.
Very, very.
And I don't know. So there's a cult classic one. I can't remember the name of it.
I'm such a millennial. I'm like, is she going to say Charmed? Is she going to say Charmed? Is she going to say Charmed? I'm such a millennial. My God.
Well, I have a question about one particular movie as you're looking up the movie that you're trying to think of. The movie Midsommar that came out.
That's the movie
you're thinking of. Oh, wow. Interesting. Okay.
Great minds.
Yeah, with the exception of the killing and the sacrificials, that's very close to how we kind of concept a lot of magic and a lot of ideas. We don't kill people. We don't push people from the ledge so that our community can thrive. We don't sacrifice ourselves physically. We do, in a way, sacrifice ourselves mentally mm-hmm. to the energies and the love of the earth.
It does not sound too different from any other religion from what I'm hearing.
most religions, it seems like it's just about building community around a set of beliefs
mm-hmm.
and
fostering a world around that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I do and have a... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
I am UU, so I go to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Gwinnett. I do services there. I do pagan services there.
Oh.
And we have a very good belief and set of values that are centered around love. So I place those values in my services, in my heart, and they're very, I mean, to me, they're very pagan. So.
I love that because a lot of people assume that paganism or the practice of witchcraft or even Satanist, they think that they're all bad or evil or thing. But if you really learn, none of them are about that. They're all surrounded by love, honestly. Yeah. And it's just like it all started because like the whole the satanic panic. Remember that? The 70s mm-hmm. and all mm-hmm. that crap.
Well,
it's,
I don't remember it in the 70s because I wasn't born in the 70s.
But. Yeah. I just meant that from the because I'm a true crime fanatic and the satanic panic was always the excuses that they used for the horrible things that happened. Oh, they must have been Satanist or whatever.
Or smoking marijuana.
Oh yes, or smoking marijuana. That devil's lettuce.
That reefer madness.
So before we're going to wrap up soon, but I want to go back to the polyamory.
Mm-hmm.
So in dealing with the common misconceptions of it, I know that you've dealt with a lot of judgments of that because a lot of people do not understand it. How do you guys go about getting through just the negativity that you had to put up with and dealing with it?
Well, first, we don't hang around people who have a negative concept of our relationship. Family members, I just chalk it up to, if you don't like it, you don't have to talk to me, and they have taken that to heart. As in the outside world, we've never had a lot of negativity come our way, and we're pretty open out in the public. I think it's really just been, if you don't like it,
mm-hmm.
F you.
I feel that. Girlfriend, I feel that.
I'm too old to worry about other people's feelings.
I love it. I love it. What advice would you have to someone who is considering, polyamory?
Find your type of polyamory. There are multiple types of polyamory.
Oh.
Make sure you're comfortable with it. So my husband and I, we have what we call an open table polyamory. Although we have a girlfriend, should we find a partner that we are attracted to or want to build a relationship with, all we do is communicate this with our other partners, let them know what's going on. And usually, it's okay. So our girlfriend does have a partner that she has intercourse with. Yeah.
Okay. And so is it a man or a woman?
It's a man.
Oh, okay. Okay. Do you know how he feels?
Because I'm sorry.
Do you know how is he? So he's okay with everything as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm just too jealous. I don't know if I can do it.
And
insecure.
I thought that for the longest time. I really did. And I got into a polyamorous relationship and it was horrible. It was awful. I was over jealous. I was mad. And then they got married and I was the photographer. I was bawling my eyes out at the wedding and I was angry. I was so angry.
That sounds like you need to contact Abby about the Breakup Breakdown podcast.
But then I had to internalize, why am mm-hmm. I angry? And it was because the relationship was falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
The main guy in the relationship had what we call an NRE addiction, which is new relationship energy addiction.
Mm.
So he constantly had new relationships and new relationships. And then he would, and his wife could deal with that. And I could not.
Wow.
I had to go through my own self-evaluation, mm-hmm. my own therapy, and figure out, why am I so jealous? Why am I so upset? And I still get jealous when I'm in a meeting at night with the congregation and my boyfriend, my husband, and my girlfriend are snuggling on the couch. I'm like, oh, snuggle too.
Who doesn't want a good snuggle? Come on.
Yeah, I'm like, I want to be part of this snuggle. I rationalize it, and she's rationalized it with me.
Mm-hmm.
I sleep with him. And she'll sleep with us on the weekends. Mm-hmm. But during the weekday, she gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm sorry, honey, I don't have time to get up that early. I sleep to do.
You know, speaking of, that's so funny you say that. I was gonna ask the concept of balance. How do you maintain balance between the three of you and, you know, yourself?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, so we try and make sure that we are giving each other enough attention, mm-hmm. Dates. We'll either, most of the time we all three go on a date. I will go on a date with her, or Kim will go on a date with her, him.
Nice.
Nice. And, you know, we just, it's a constant battle, honestly, I'm a busy person. I work, I have congregation stuff, I have pagan stuff, mm-hmm. and they both, I tell them, if I'm too busy in this area, please let me know, and I will back off on some things.
Yeah.
And I schedule family time. if you saw my calendar, you would pass out. But I schedule family time, and I expect them to spend time together.
I have one more question for you before we let you go. Are you and your husband wanting to have children, or do you already have children?
Yes, we are wanting to have children. That is a conversation that we've had with her and her kids, mm-hmm. as well. She has three kids.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and we see them every other weekend. But yes, it's definitely on our radar to have kids.
If you did have children, you and your husband would, and you guys are still in the relationship with this woman as well, would she be considered a mother to your children and you a mother, yes. to hers?
Yes.
And then my last question would be, would you all live in the same house, do you think, or?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. I mean, it sounds like a house full of love, you ask me.
Did you not watch The Brady Bunch?
Was that about polyamory?
Close enough.
I knew it.
Close enough.
I knew Alice was doing more than cleaning, right? Yeah, Candace, I want to thank you so much for joining the Professionally Silly podcast and sharing a little bit about yourself and your cultures, because I've always been intrigued by it. So when you called the Birch Show, I said, I must speak to her.
Well, I am so happy to be on. I think it's great. It's really nice to get this knowledge out. A lot of people have a negative concept towards paganism, and a lot of people have negative concepts towards polyamory, and we're not evil.
No.
We are praying for and manifesting the best that we can in this world.
Freedom of religion, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. That's what it's all about.
Healing of the earth, you know. And then polyamory, we're just people that love.
Yeah.
You know, there is enough room to love more than one person.
I agree.
That's beautiful.
Well, Candace, thank you once again.
We discussed a little bit of both, you know. So
many ideas.
So we, you know, we can go a lot of ways with it. I mean, I still want to pick your brain about just the stuff you're into, just as far as the paganism stuff, you know.
Again, I mean, we may have to contact you again if you're okay with that.
Know, Halloween's around the corner, okay? You know what I'm saying? I need to get your playlist.
Yeah, I will say Halloween is Samhain, and Samhain for us is not dressing up in costumes and scaring people. Mm-hmm. Samhain for us is an honoring the spirits of our ancestors. So you know how in the Hispanic culture they have an ofrenda?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have what we call an ancestry altar, and we place pictures of our ancestors up during Samhain to honor them. And we have what we call a silent supper. So we make foods that our ancestors, that we know that our ancestors love.
We may need to give you a call back for this one, because that seems like there's some intricacies that I want to discuss further. But the Zoom call is going to end because it only gives you 30 minutes, and I didn't want it to hang up on you while you were speaking. But I'm going to most likely contact you again at some point, either this month or next month, because I would love to talk more about that, because I think that'd be a great thing to discuss for the holidays coming up.
Excellent.
Thank you so much again. You're amazing. And I'll let you know when everything goes up.
All right. Thank you.
Take care, love. Have a good one. If there's anything that you can take from this episode, it's there really might be someone out there for all of us. There really might be.
Yeah.
I think that the key, DJ Hey Cousin and listeners, is to try and to trust every now and then.
And forgive.
and to trust yourself and to learn from your mistakes. Love is out there somewhere. I don't know where it is, you know, but if you give it a shot, then you'll know. But if you don't try, you'll never find out.
I'm going to say something that a lot of you might not like.
Uh-oh.
Love is easy, but you have to work hard for it.
I hate that. You're right. Fuck you. Professionally silly life rules. I want to shout out to the listeners because you guys are fucking titties. I love your faces and most of all, the ears that are attached to them. Subscribe to this podcast, whatever platform that you're using. Also, do your girl a favor and leave me a 5-star and or written review because it would help my podcast grow. And if you're listening for the first time, come on back and join in on the silly and binge all the episodes that you haven't heard yet and share this podcast with a friend. You can find all of our social medias, both of ours, finally, down below in the show notes. Took DJ Hey Cousin about 3 years to get that to me, but we got it.
Hey, no comment.
Follow us on TikTok, Instagram. Check out my YouTube channels. All that's down below in the show notes, along with my link tree. All of my shit is right there. All right, listeners, check out the podcast Instagram at It's Pro Silly. That can be found down below as well. And the Professionally Silly podcast group on Facebook. If you have listener submissions, send those. Maybe you want some advice about your relationship or your job, or you got some embarrassing stories you want to share, what have you, home stories, send them and we can feature them on the show. Maybe you have an interesting job that we can interview and talk about as well. So that will be fun too. Hit me up. My email is down there. It's professionallysilly@gmail.com. And my Google Voice number, you can leave me a voice message or you can text me 805-664-1828. Had a brain fart.
Yeah, that was a full on.
That was a full on fart.
Full on fart. Loud too. Loud. Stinky.
For those of you that are interested in writing or sending things, my P.O. Box is Amber Smiles Jones, P.O. Box 533. Lovejoy, Georgia 30250. And you can send anything you would like. And if it's cool, actually, I won't know until I open it, but we can do an unboxing video on my YouTube channel, Professionally Silly, where you can check out my silly visually.
Mm.
That's always fun.
Always.
Once again, it's your audible boo thing, Amber Smiles Jones, and
your audible side piece,
DJ Hey Cousin. Yes. Unfortunately, he's still here. Thank you so much for listening to the Professionally Silly Station, where I take my silliness seriously.
Damn right.
Until next time, guys, I'll leave you with this. Someone dreamt about you last night, and you have no idea. Just a random ass thought that attacked my brain cells when I'm asleep, so I thought I'd share that with you.
What part of your body do you think itches when that happens?
Probably like, I think it's like my index toe on my right foot, I feel like.
I think so, too.
That's the
one. Yeah. I'm going to go behind the knee.
Behind the knee. Until next time, listeners, you decide to tune in on the Pea Silly. Watch where you step because there are pieces of shit everywhere. Mm. And they love to spread their ignorance. Próxima semana. That's next week in Spanish.
Adios.
Okay, bye.